Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I do want to take an opportunity right now, just because I know we have visiting guests with us here today. Pastor Tim and Pastor Kate Stallman are senior pastors, and I absolutely love our pastors. And we're so blessed and rich to have them as our pastors leading this congregation. And I'm the associate pastor. I'm Pastor Brad Hofer. And it's truly an honor for me to be able to minister the Word of God. Humbles me to be up here. And I'm just so grateful to be called on to be able to do that. But I just encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to meet Pastor Tim, you're going to want to come back and meet Pastor. Amen. I know that he would personally want to meet you. And I'll tell you, if you're looking for a Bible-believing and teaching church, we would certainly love to have you a part of our congregation. We absolutely love family here, and we love the plan that he has for your life. And so I just invite you to come on back. But praise the Lord, I do have some things stirring here today. And the word is good. If you just allow me to preach to myself here this morning, that would be a blessing. And I do want to bring up some verses just as kind of a launching point in Hebrews chapter 4. But I'll tell you what, you know, I don't know about you, but you got to be excited for the word. You know, when you get thrilled with the word is when it begins to work for you. Otherwise, you might as well just read another novel, another book. If you give no merit or weight to the word of God, then it does nothing to you. You know, the enemy will come and steal the word that's spoken to you. But then when you get excited for the word, that it moves you and motivates you to live for the things of God, and you take the truth of the word and you hold it before God, and he says, bring me in remembrance of my word. If you take his word and you go before him and you show him, Father, this is what you said, then all of a sudden he responds based on what he said, why his reputation and his character is at stake. Don't tell me something, Lord, because I certainly wouldn't do it to my kids. To say, hey, I promise you I'm going to do this for you. Well, Dad, you're going to do that? No, I'm not going to do that for you. Well, what kind of character is established to your fatherhood? We have a loving God that is all truth. And not only did he say and give you promises in the word of God, he sealed it by the blood of his own son. So that you can walk in freedom. That you can walk in victory in this life. That you don't have to be subject to the things of this world, but you can be far above those things. Your seated authoritative position in Christ, because when Jesus was exalted, he exalted you and sat you next to him in that. So I'm just saying, release your faith here today. You know, and I know we're at different places, but there's been people that have been here for a number of time, and you're seriously needing help right now. You've exhausted every natural resource. If you could do it yourself, you would have. If you could pay for it, you would have. If you could go to some counseling session, I'm not diminishing and putting these things down, you would have, because we cooperate with the plan of God. But you have to have the same enthusiasm and momentum to press into God beyond the natural things. Why is it that God gets the shout out the last of opportunities? Oh man, when everything else has failed and I tried everything I can do on my own, I'll consult my Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, you see what I'm going through. No, you need to start there. And you need to be armed with the word of God and say, this is what the word says. And because the word says this, things are going to have to change around me. The natural realm is going to have to change around me because of what the word says, and I've got heaven backing me up. What is it that you're dealing with? What circumstance and what trial are you being pressed with in this life? You better arm yourself with the word of God. You can start trying to swing all you want in the flesh. You can do everything you want to try to do in the flesh, but when you got heaven backing you up and the one who said it, if he's got to split seas, if he's got to break mountains, you understand that your Heavenly Father will show up on your behalf. He did it through Jesus Christ. I'm excited for the word today, and I've got some things stirring. You guys got the text. Over there in Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to start right there in the first verse. I just want to expound on a few things. And I know overhead, if you don't mind, bringing these verses up in the Amplified. I want to read the first three verses because this is so pertinent to all of us. It says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today. Hold on a second. Rest with the gas prices the way they are. Rest when inflation has gone up here, but my paycheck has gone up here. Rest when sickness and disease has plagued my body and my being. Rest when calamity and circumstance and hardship and people passing has multiplied in my life. Rest still holds true today. Let us be afraid to distrust it. You're going to be afraid of something. Be afraid or concerned that you're going to miss this rest that has been promised to you. Lest any of you should think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Lest any of you think you're late for entering his rest. There is no late, because the rest is already in place. You just need to simply step over into the rest. Why has this been a prolonged season? Why have I been going through the calamity that I've been going through? Why is this world impacting and crushing and beating me down? Why is it that God seems like he's on Mars someplace instead of right here, right now in my life? Well, it's time you step over into the rest at the feet of Jesus. It's time that this you recognize, hey, I've been saved for this many years. Maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 20 years, maybe it's 30 years, and it seems like I've missed God. It seems like I should be further ahead. It seems like my spiritual life has only gotten me so far or so far along, and I should be so much further than I am right now. I'm telling you what, that rest is still available. It's still in place. You're not too late. You aren't washed up. You're not in a place of destitute. You're not in a place of the unreachable, surpassing arm of the Lord to bring you back into his rest. You need rest. He's always been in the same spot. Circumstance might have brought you away from that. Trial might have brought you away from that. But it's not because he's moved. It's because circumstances move you. You need to find your way back into the center place of his rest and say, you know what? This has become home to me. This is my residence. This is my dwelling place. This is my secret place right here. And I'm going to camp out. Yes, the world's been beating on me, but I can escape and flee from those things and come into the centership of my Heavenly Father and what he's provided for me. And I'm not late in doing that. That door is always open. So you need to readjust, perhaps. You need to start thinking and moving and walking differently. And you need to find that place of rest, because lest you fear of entering into it, to this day, it's still available. So in other words, say it's essential. Don't think that you're far out because of something that you've done. Well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what my past is. You don't know the sin I'm dealing with and what I'm struggling with. Those things have brought me and put me out of the presence of God. Well, that might be so, but it doesn't mean that you're not welcome to get back through repentance into the flow that he has for you. So whatever you're dealing with, I'm telling you, you need to find that rest, and you need to get back in there. And it goes on to say in verse 2, "For indeed we had the glad tidings, gospel of God, proclaimed to us as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because it was not mixed with faith, with the leaning of the entire personality on God and absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and faith with the ones Joshua and Caleb who heard it and did believe." So he's talking about the Israelites. You remember the spies that went out. Majority of them, 10 of them, came back, says, "We're grasshoppers in their sight." Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report, a faith report. And he says, the word of God didn't profit the Israelites because they didn't mix faith with it. They said, "We're dead. These guys are giants in the land." Two came back, and you remember that the Lord called that an evil report when they came back. It was an evil report saying, "We don't know what we're going to do. Their walls are fortified. They got giants up in there." And Joshua and Caleb, they came back, says, "We are well able to take this land. We are well able to do that." But the word that God says, seeing, "I'm going to bring you into a place of promise," it says that they didn't enter into that because of their unbelief. They didn't mix faith with the word. They didn't believe it, and they didn't mix their faith with it. They said, "We're dead men. Okay, have good time the next 40 years in the wilderness, dying out in the upper generation." Two came back with a word of faith. So the word needs to profit you. How do you need to do that? By mixing your faith with it. You need to start speaking the words out of your mouth. Like Jesus said, he said, have the faith of God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. And I'm telling you, because of the distraction out here in this world, there's a lot of quiet Christians out there right now. I remember Dr. Dufresne, he'd be walking this floor, he'd be walking this stage, and he said, what are you saying? He had a whole message that he preached. What are you saying? He grabbed the microphone. He'd go up when we had monitors right here and TV screens, and he'd have the word up there, and he'd hold it up there. I don't hear anything. Why? Because you need to take that word, and you need to put it in your mouth. Well, what are you saying about your circumstance? Nothing. Well, what's happening? Nothing. That's right, because you're not saying nothing. You start saying the word of God and mixing your faith with it, then it works. Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to take this land. They're starting to speak and release their faith. Oh, that's a good report. God can work with that. The enemy needs to hear you say that right in the midst of what you're going through. My God shall supply all my needs. Praise God. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You need to take the word of God and you need to start proclaiming it. There's no movement if you're not mixing your faith with it. Your tongue is the mixer of your faith. You want something to change, you better start saying something. This is for me too. You know what I mean? There's no exemptions here. That's why I say, just let me preach to myself up here. And for those of you that are visiting here today, we just got back from camp. We had camp week. Last week was our picnic, and the camp was before that. And the youth kids, I see there's some out and about amongst us here, but they said, yeah, Pastor Brad's ministering. Well, who's Pastor Brad? He's the loud one. So I'm known as the loud one. And I'm telling you, circumstance and distractions tries to keep a person quiet. And you need to voice, and I'm not saying be some fanatic standing up on the counter at Walmart, and don't be weird, you know what I'm saying? But you need to start declaring a few things concerning the word of God, because you need circumstance to have a response. You remember Jesus with the disciples, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. It said a storm of hurricane proportion came upon them so that the water was crashing in the boat to the point where it was sinking. And they're like, wake him up. It's like, Jesus, carest thou not that we're perishing? Don't you care that this inflation's rocking up higher than ever before? Don't you care that I'm dealing with these circumstances? Don't you care that I'm down to my last dollar in the bank? Don't you care that my kids aren't adequately clothed and fed? Don't you care that there's sickness trying to get in my body and take me out? Don't you care that I've had this mental bombardment all my time and all my life? The first thing he said is, peace, be still. And it said, the water's calm. Then he turns to his disciple. He says, where's your faith? How is it that you have no faith? Where's your faith? Disciples be like, I don't know what side of the boat he got up on. There's something going on. He's starting to address a few things. But someone needed to stand up, speak the word of faith, and say peace in the middle of chaos so that the chaos can respond. Jesus spoke to a fig tree and it dried up from the roots. It responded. A tree responded to the words out of his mouth. Jesus, if you could only come back and stand in my living room with me for a moment so you could start speaking to all my... No, put the word of God in your mouth. I remember Pastor Scott Webb sent one time, we were on a bear hunt up in New Brunswick. He said, the word of God in your mouth is as good as the word of God in his mouth. Because he said it and recorded it and wrote it. So you need to go before your circumstance and you say, let me show you something. Let me show you something. Because of the authority that he's given me, I'm going to give you scripture, and I'm going to speak it out of my mouth. And if you choose circumstance not to move, you're going to have to take that up with him. His character and his reputation is on the line with this. He said it. He sealed it with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So I'm taking this word and I'm going before him. I'm going to put it in my mouth and I'm going to say, circumstance, peace be still. He looked at his own people. Where's your faith? Why didn't you handle this? And I mentioned this last night. It comes up again. You remember Jesus with the demoniac boy and the disciples couldn't cast the devil out of him. And so he says, he cast the devil out of him. And he said, you know, this type comes out by prayer and fasting. And let me just preface right now, just for the sake of clarity. Fasting and praying should be a part of a Christian's life. Us Hofers, we don't like to fast. I come from a good amount. Don't miss a meal, maybe cut off a limb or something, but that brownie will be gone by the time I leave this table, you know what I mean? So us Hofers, but fasting and prayer should be a part of that. Because it changes God? No, because it changes you. He says, this comes by prayer and fasting, getting before your heavenly Father, seeking Him, developing yourself in Him. It's not the act of prayer and fasting that all of a sudden God owes you something. God changes not. He's already handled every demonic principality and power in this world. He's waiting for somebody to step up. And you know what Jesus said? He said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I be with? Exactly. Exactly. 3 years. How long before I'm out of here and I'm expecting you to handle this yourselves? So when he approached the disciples as they were going to the other side, he said, where's your faith? Like, you need to grow mastery and become skillful in this. You need to understand how this works. And with that demoniac, how long shall I be with you? I'm limited time here on earth before I'm out of here, and then it's going to come down to you. You better not be broken in this area. You better have an understanding what your authority is and who's granted you that authority. We're an occupying army here on earth to enforce the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I do what I see the Father do, and I say what I hear the Father say. In other words, I get my commands from headquarters up there, and I implement it here on the earth. This is what he says, verse 3 in the Amplify. Listen to what this says. For we who have believed, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on God, do enter that rest, praise God, in accordance with his declaration that those who did not believe should not enter, when he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And this he said, although his works had been completed and prepared and waiting for all who would believe from the foundations of the world. They wouldn't believe it, but it said that his promises had been completed, prepared, and waiting for all who would believe from the foundations of the world. It wasn't a lack of preparation on God's part concerning their deliverance. This has been prepared because I saw it before the foundations of the earth that you were going to be in a troubled spot of bondage, and I made provision back then for your deliverance now. I don't have to rework a new ball of deliverance to set it before you for you to have. I've already seen this in the eternal past and made provision already for it. So now you have an opportunity to enter the rest because it's been prepared and waiting for you to access it. So that's why he's talking about the spoken word of faith. The promise was for them that had already been prepared. But because they couldn't see it, so inundated with circumstance, oh, we're dead men. Oh, man, there's nothing but failure here. Who told you that? Where's your faith? We're going to die. Carest thou not that we perish? Who told you that? I didn't. I'm looking at the provision that I made before the foundations of the earth. You don't see it. With your eye of faith and the spoken word out of your mouth, you grab hold of that. And I'm going to rest with that. I'm going to take refuge in the spoken word of my heavenly Father, that when circumstances come, my God shall supply all my need. I'm going to camp out, and I'm not going to bite my nails. I'm not going to, rip my hair out. Not that I got a lot of hair to rip out. I'm not going to do all these things, pacing the floor, wringing my hands, wondering how this is. No, if you're going to apply any effort, you apply the effort to the word of God. You take the word of God and you go before your heavenly Father and you start saying the word back unto him. Remember, Father, what you said. You take that word and you go back to him and you bring that word before him. And I'll tell you what, and I've ministered this before, where I'm telling you, when my kids come to me and they'll be like, oh, we love you, Daddy. And they're like, we're so proud of you, Daddy. And they start encouraging. I'll tell you what, there's a flex that comes on you. Dad, I know that, you know, you'll never hurt us. I know that you're, thank you so much for these meals, like, and it's all the glory to the Heavenly Father. But it, but there's, when you start bringing the word before God, it's like, yeah, yes. There's a confidence from our Heavenly Father, like, how proud of a father am I that my children know me as protector. They know me as provider, even though I'm not, it's our Heavenly Father, but they see that through their adolescent eyes of trust that say, you've never been anything but good to us. You've never done anything to hurt us. You've never made me sick. You've never stolen anything from me. You've never cussed me out. You've never put me in the ditch. You never did those. So you never kicked me and broke me and stripped me down to build me back up. Like some of this garbage that's out in the world today thinking God's bringing calamity on people just so he can prove them a point. That he's bringing sickness and disease. I'm saying, you know what? You live in this world. In this world, we'll have trials and tribulations. He says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power to harm you. I'm telling you what, there's a lot of nonsense going out there thinking that God's taking the legs out of his people just to show him something, to show himself God. Yeah, that's a good parent. Come here, kids. Let me break your legs so we can watch the healing process together. What nonsense. Yeah, let me put cancer and disease on you. People sitting down in the instant face and all that other garbage, and they'd be like, why do you think God trusted you with cancer? Like God put it on a kid or something. Like, what? Why do you, well, you must be strong. Hey, let's pray that you get it so you can be strong. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, well, let's go shut down the hospitals then because they're there to help and promote health. Let's shut those down. God might be trying to teach these people something. You know what I mean? Like, common sense, I would think. God's not the builder and the wrecking ball. Circumstances all in this world, you start dabbling in all that, yeah, watch out. Your legs will be taken out from you. But I'm telling you what, you get in the flow of God and you stand in his rest and his promises. Praise God. You'll be victorious. You'll be victorious in it. He's nothing but a good, loving God. He's not making sick. It's like, oh, yeah, well, in the Old Testament, yeah, that's the Old Testament before Jesus. So even in the passages with Jesus, there was those that said, well, that God would be glorified. They were healed, that God would be glorified. Yeah, but that's still when Jesus was on this earth. I didn't see anywhere in the other pages where God made somebody sick. And I never saw Jesus that said, I only do what I see the Father do and say what I hear the Father say. I never saw him make anybody sick. It's like, hey, Eli, man, plague coming on you, brother. You need to know me a little bit better. Woo, Simeon. I'm telling you what, bro, looks like your pockets are going to be drying up because you need to know me better. Yeah. Yes, Father. I love you all the more now. That's just so encouraging. Thank you for bringing that calamity on me. I want to draw close to you now. Nonsense. Nonsense. And I'm telling you, don't be hoodwinked to merit or give weight to some kind of circumstance being like, hey, God will meet you and you will see God in a way that you've never seen when trial and calamity comes into your life. This world you live in, it's a fallen world. The prince of the power of the air, which is talking about Satan, is the ruler of this earth. He's not the ruler over the Christian. We've been given the hierarchy from headquarters as ambassadors here on this earth. You understand that. But until you open your mouth and you start decreeing and declaring those things, don't be surprised when nothing changes. I don't even know where we're going. This is a complete different from last night. I ministered and we're going to get into some of this. But I'm saying you need to open your mouth and you need to start proclaiming the word of God in circumstance. It's not him that's against you. He's done everything for you. When Jesus was on the cross, he died. He said, it is finished. What? The redemptive plan for your health, your prosperity, your provision. That was the sealed deal. Just like these Israelites, it's been prepared, made ready, and waiting for you to walk in from before the foundations of the earth. It says over there in Ephesians chapter 2, living the good life, which he preordained for you to walk in. All these things, it's like, you know, in the crunch of the economy right now has turned so many people centered. Yeah, we're all feeling that. You know, I don't like paying $30 for a value meal someplace and, you know, all that other mess that it is and paying, well, it's under $3. I was in Erie last night. It's under $3 there in Erie for gas prices, but it's like, what, $4.35 here? Yeah, you're going to feel the crunch of that, but you can live above that You know, you can decide to live above those circumstances, but praise God, man, I'll tell you. Well, we're going to get into a few things, and I want to just, we'll see with our time remaining, but it feels good to kind of transition into some of these over in the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to see some of our part in what we have to do to walk into those promises. And this isn't going to be a clever message, but it's going to be essential. Seems like it might be an easy, you know, to follow message and some things that are like, well, that was fairly easy. But why complicate things by the word of God that it's like, you know what, I don't even understand a thing you said. I can't apply that to my life and I'm in no better off. I don't know what movie that was in. There was, maybe it wasn't even a good movie. I don't know. I think it had Adam Sandler in it, and he goes back to school and he read this story and the guy was like, he was like, whatever you said, we were all completely like worse off for hearing that. What you said makes absolutely no sense. No, I'm telling you what, we're here with the best teacher, the Holy Ghost, and he's going to help us to get through this so that we leave with something. I'm going to read over there in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to start in verse 19. And he says this, Deuteronomy 30, 19. You remember Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, because I know y'all camp out there and do all your good studying and reading in there. Well, throw this verse on there. In 30, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Uh-oh. That's not what you want to hear, man. I hope he's not talking about me, because he's saying, I've called heaven and earth this day against you. Well, this ain't starting out good. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is your life, your length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Talking about covenant relationship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and pastors, phenomenal, and we had those messages concerning that covenant. But he testifies, heaven and earth testifies against him, he says in verse 19. He says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Well, that sounds like a no-brainer. Who wants death and cursing? But if something has to be set before you, that means that you could have selected a different way. You could have selected something. So heaven and earth is testifying against him, said, hey, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. I'm concerned that you're going to choose something different. The provision's been made from before the foundations of the earth. And it's set before you. I'm concerned that you're going to pick something other than life and blessing. So heaven and earth is now testifying, mayday, to you right now, that you're going to make the right choice. Choose life. Choose the blessing. It wasn't too long ago, I was outside and I was with Amelia, my daughter. And she wanted, I think it was either to play a game or, you know, jump on the trampoline or something like that. Well, I had come home from work. The grass is getting longer as it is this time of year, which I'm grateful for the rain, because I have a few food plots up there in Forestville that need watered right now, so I can look at the deer as they come to munch on them. Hey, let's just end this right here. There's two seasons. There's hunting season and there's not hunting season. Can I get a better amen? All right. So praise God. So anyway, I had to mow the grass. It's getting long. So Amelia's like, hey, can you play with me? Can you jump on the trampoline? And I said, well, I have to mow the lawn. And she said, well, you don't have to mow the lawn. I'm like, she's right. I don't have to mow the lawn. She's like, the lawn may need mowed, but you don't have to. I'm like, that'll preach. That'll preach. I said, I choose to mow the lawn. You don't have to be healthy. You don't have to be prosperous. You don't have to be in sound mind. You don't have to have joy. You can be a curse smudgeon. You can go without. You don't have to walk in God's highest and best. You don't have to pray. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to serve in the church. You don't have to do any of those things. I've set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. Choose. Choose. Not making you do nothing. Never show up. I'm gonna say, never show up to this church again. We're not coming knocking on your door. For those, if pastor's watching, I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. I'm not telling anybody to leave. I'm just saying, you have a choice. You all chose to get up this morning. You all chose to come to the house of the Lord. You all chose to serve in the house of the Lord. It's service, you being here right now. You didn't have to do that. You chose to do that. That's set before you on a daily basis. What are you dealing with? Choose. My wife, who's actually in nursery right now, a lot of you know Stephanie, we were talking about this the exact same day that Amelia said that. I trust, I pray, sometime that Steph can get up here and give her testimony as far as some of the things that she's been through. I mean, she is so full of wisdom. And, you know, I become a student oftentimes when she opens her mouth. You know, oftentimes I'm the flamboyant, you know, phlegmatic, whatever all those are. She's very choleric, whatever, straight black and white. But when she opens her mouth, when she's talking truth in scripture, man, it drops bombs. I mean, just hits weight like, let me just dance around this a little bit. But, you know, she said she was going through things when we had our children. There were some things within her life where she actually had to choose to live. And I'm just pretending I'm looking at scripture here for a second. But she said, too, I had to choose to live. People need to make a decision and choose. Choose to follow God, God's plan for their life. Choose to have victory. Choose to have success. Choose. You need to make that decision. People need to choose to lose weight. People need to choose to exercise. People need to choose to come to work. She was dead, smack dead, right on in what she said, to choose those things. Turn with me, if you will, over there to Luke chapter 10. You remember the story about Mary and Martha. This is such a good passage here. And I want to share a few things with you. That word choose over there in Deuteronomy, just because I glanced down at my notes, I haven't been much on my notes this morning, but that word choose means to select, to accept, join. I like this one, to require. When you choose something, you require it. I require his healing power active in my life. I require his peace. I've chosen that. Therefore, anything contrary to that needs addressed. And I will address that because I've chosen what he has for me. And also to be instead of. I choose life instead of death. I choose blessing instead of cursing. I choose joy instead of sorrow and sadness. I choose peace over chaos and turmoil. In Luke 10, 38, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house," talking about Jesus. "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she helps me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So here we go. Jesus shows up into your house. Mayday. Here we go. Another freak out mode. Jesus is coming to your house. Like Pastor Michael always talked about, they had that one room. You know, when someone's knocking at the door, oh my gosh, we got 3 minutes. Swipe off the counter, open the drawer, swipe everything into the counter, shut them, take everything, kids, dogs, refrigerators, couches, throw them all in the room to shut the door because all of a sudden someone might see. So that's what's happening. Jesus is in the house. Oh my gosh, start serving. Oh my gosh, who's got the food? Who's got this going? Did someone order the pizza? Whatever it is, everybody's freaking out of their head. And so Martha's running around doing all this stuff. What the jack, Mary? Jesus, you're in our house. Why is she sitting at your feet? Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and anxious about many things. She has chosen the good part. She decided and chose that. In your chaos, Martha, he said in verse 42, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that. Needful, full of need. I go to church Sunday. I go to church Wednesday. I go to special meetings. I serve in this department. I serve in that department. I sing up on here. I'm out in parking lot. I do all these things. Whenever there's a special event at camp, I'm giving my this, I'm giving my that. I'm looking at you and I'm seeing you full of need. Apart from choosing the good part. See, serving is a part. That's why he says she's chosen the good part. There's a better part. Service alone, apart from sitting at the feet of Jesus, leaves you anxious, leaves you wringing hands, biting nails, makes you careful about many things. Martha's heart was good. Jesus is in our house. Let's get everything in order. I want to bless and honor the man of God, not apart from the good part of sitting at the feet of Jesus. You need to choose the good part in your life. Otherwise, chaos. Otherwise, needful. One thing is needful or full of need. I'm serving, I'm giving, I'm doing all that. Why do I feel so drained? Why do I feel so exhausted? Why do I never want to go to church? Why do I never want to talk to anybody about Jesus? Choose the good part and you watch those things change. Because apart from our intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, works. We need to serve. And like I said, you guys are doing a service here today by coming faithfully. This is family. This is the best family in my consideration or my opinion. You're the best family there is. We're united together in Christ. And apart from the helps and the works ministry that help assist this with Pastor Tim and Pastor Kate as our heads, this wouldn't be happening. Praise God for that. Don't miss the good part. Why? She chose that. I know the laundry list of stuff that needs done. I know my shortcomings, my failures. I know things that would bring a level of concern to me. I got to put those to the side and find the good part. Why? I'm choosing Jesus. In my chaos, I'm choosing Jesus. I'm choosing him. Apart from separating or keeping yourself from that good part, cares, anxieties, worries, this world right now has elevated the anxiety level and the care level to a maximum. You better find the good part, and you better choose to move forward with the things of God. How do we do that? I'm telling you right now that whatever your mind is on is the movement or the way that you are going. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to quote over there in Romans chapter 4, 19. You remember Abraham, where he was 75 years old, and the Lord says, I'm going to bring Isaac and the generations to come through you. He was Abram, is now called Abraham at this particular time. 100 years old, still no Isaac. Sarah was 90. And it said that he considered not his body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. Right there. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. 90 years old, he's 100. But it said that he considered not. In other words, his attention wasn't focused on that, because if you consider what you're lacking, you're going to miss the good part. And what your attention is on is going to bring the cares and the anxieties. When Jesus showed up, it wasn't Jesus. It's, oh, we got to do this, and we got to do that, and we got to do this. No, Jesus is there. Jesus is there. That needs to be your decision. Get your mind off of every little intricate detail and get it focused on the one thing and choose that. In other words, when Jesus is there, absorb all of him that you can possibly get over the necessity of whether your sock drawer is clean. It has its part. Get things in order. That's my biggest deal. You know, you shouldn't go into your car and kick out 5 bags of McDonald's and 4 drinks. You know what I mean? You gotta have things in order, and that's something that doesn't come naturally to me. But when Jesus is there, apart from the mess, you need to occupy him to the best of your ability and capability. You need to choose that. And what your mind and focus on needs to be on him, because this world's trying to hand you out every other thing to keep you occupied. That's why he's like, Martha, Martha, you're careful about many things. You're anxious. You have anxiety about many things, not just here today, but in life. Working jobs all hours of the day and week. Praise God. Put your hands to it, to something. That's what the Bible says that we ought do. But when that occupies the majority of your life, and oh man, here it is Thursday, Friday, I haven't even turned my heart to the Lord once. Well, you're choosing a part. It is necessary that you work. That is vital. It's not a sin for you to work. As much as this generation, I'm not throwing bricks or anything like that, and people might say they don't put a importance on hard work and diligence and some of those things. You need to put your hands to those things. But I'm saying not at the expense of choosing the good part through him. Dear Lord, he considered not his body now dead, so he didn't think about that. My body's dead. Well, I'm not going there. I'm not thinking that way, because my Heavenly Father said there's a generation and a line of descendants coming after me, and I'm going to take him at his word, nor the condition of his wife being 90. So what your attention on is what tries to pull you away from that good part. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to see where we're going to go here. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I just want to share a couple verses and we're going to close. We have responsibilities. I'm telling you, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, focus on him. He loves us. He's there for us. Choose him. Choose the good part. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Calls it a light affliction. This is Paul writing this, the one that was beaten within an inch of his life. You know, shipwrecked, whipped, broken, you name it. He calls it a light affliction. Verse 18, why do you call it a light affliction? Why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Through the eye of faith, I'm looking at the provision that was made from before the foundations of the earth. My attention isn't on the brief, fleeting, changing world that encompasses and surrounds me, which There could be an economic collapse tomorrow. We don't know. But when I focus on the strength and stability of the provision provided through Jesus Christ from before the foundations of the earth, I look at the things that are not seen because those are eternal. Things that are seen are temporal, are changing, subject to change. I wish I was in that eternal realm, but I don't look the same as I did 20 years ago. Why? Because this natural changes and I'm aging. But praise God, if we look at the things that are not seen, we tap in by faith with the words of our mouth and grab what is needed, what is essential. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you got anything here today, but I'll tell you what, man. The word is good. I've set before you blessing, cursing, life, death. Choose life. Choose the word. Focus your attention on that. Have your gaze on that. We don't want to be Martha, Martha. Dear Lord, woman. We know your heart's right in serving, but you're so encumbered that you've lost peace on that. And people are wondering why it's like, man, I feel burnt out. I'm doing all this stuff for church. Well, are you fellowshipping with God? Did you choose the good part? Well, no, I'm too busy serving, even in ministry. And this is an attack on serving, but you can see that. Like, man, I'm running here. I'm doing that. I'm going here. I'm preaching here. I'm doing this. And it's like, would you spend any time with God? No, that's why this is terrible. And people are like, no, I don't want to go to church because I'm smoked. I worked, 60 hours this week. People pulling on me all day long. The last thing I want to do is go to church. Do you spend any time with Jesus? Well, no, I don't have time to spend time with Jesus. I got family when I get home. Oh, choose that part and it becomes easy to go to church where your Heavenly Father is. Don't choose that other mess. That'll put you in a hole someplace. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the provision that you've given to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you that, Father, your promises have been made ready and prepared from before the foundation of the earth. That Jesus died 2,000 years ago and sealed our redemption. That, Father, we could spend forever and eternity with you, and we are so grateful for the price that he paid. With all heads bowed and eyes closed in an attitude of prayer, if you're here today, you hear this message, but you've never been born again. You can hear a message like this, you're like, well, that's a lot of stuff being said, and I don't really know a lot of what he was saying. Maybe you need to know what the very first step is, and I'm telling you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There was a price of sin that needed paid for all of us. And only one could do that, Jesus Christ. He was the only one that lived perfect. And if you're here today, you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way to that eternal life because he was the only one worthy enough to pay the price for that sin punishment that we deserve. Well, how do I do that? Well, Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Sincerely coming before him saying, Father, hey, I'm a sinner. I've never accepted you before. I need you as my Lord and Savior. I don't want to be separated in a place called hell for eternity. If you're here today, you've never made that decision. I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to make anybody stand up or come down front or anything like that. But right there in your seat, if you're here today, you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. We'll all pray together, and right there in your seat, you can make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Is there anybody here today you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and today you want to accept him? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that needs to be saved that would accept Jesus? Is there anybody else? Any other show of hands? Praise the Lord. We did have a hand raised. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and pray, and I just invite you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Well, you guys can all pray after me. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I'll tell you, the ones that raise your hand, just be sincere with this. The Lord will hear you and you'll be born again. Everyone go ahead and repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that he died on a cross and rose again so that I could be saved. I accept you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you guys were helped here today. It helped me. Praise the Lord. Hey, before we dismiss, why don't we all go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's just love on him for a minute. Father, we bless you. We magnify you. We thank you for this day. We thank you that, Father, we leave here changed. And, Father, we choose you. We choose the good part. We give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Glory to God, you are dismissed.